Today in Your Health, we meet a doctor who uses special tools to diagnose problems in the nervous system. His tools are his eyes, his ears, and his brain. This Harvard neurologist contends that old-style listening and observation are at least as valuable as high-tech medical testing. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
It looks like a scene from one of those TV medical dramas. A pack of students, residents, and fellows is striding down a hallway at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Leading the pack is Alan Roper, a professor of neurology whose hair is nearly as white as his hospital coat.
So a slightly slow, I would say, and somewhat pedestrian morning, but you never know what's going to happen.
Over the next few hours, Roper and company will see everything from tumors to seizures. The hospital let me record their day as long as I didn't use patient names.
Who are we seeing first?
The team checks on a woman with pain and numbness that could be from a stroke. An examination shows that it's not.
Well, good. Let's keep moving. Shamik, let's move on.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to 8.
We take the elevator to a patient with a more serious problem.
Hello. Good morning.
Nearly a dozen doctors and students cram into the room of a heavyset man with clogged arteries. The day before, surgeons had succeeded in rooting blood around a dangerous blockage in his neck. But something's still not right.
Can I sit on your bed? I don't usually like to, you know. It's your bed. You're sleeping in it.
Roper takes the man's hand and studies his face.
Let's go back to the spell that brought you into the hospital originally. Tell us about it.
I was talking to somebody. I was talking to my...
Are you having trouble finding words right now?
Roper has the man lie back. That sends more blood to a brain that's not getting enough. Then Roper begins a series of tests.
Let me hear you say la 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 very quick.
La, 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 la.
Me. Good.
Now that the man is reclining, most of his language skills are pretty good. But there's still one thing he can't do.
Can I hear you say no ifs, ands, or buts?
Later, Roper explains that this inability to repeat a simple phrase told him precisely where a small stroke had damaged the man's brain.
What we did was, on clinical grounds, we nailed this down to a piece of real estate the size of a quarter.
A brain scan confirms the damage. But Roper says no scan would have shown that other parts of the man's brain were in danger every time he sat up.
The rest of medicine has moved very strongly toward laboratory diagnosis. It ends up in neurology being a mistake because the system's just too complicated to believe that by looking just at the images you can sort out what's going on for an individual patient.
The next patient is several floors up, but the elevator is slow and time is short, so everyone takes the stairs.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
This woman in her late 60s came in for back surgery, but ended up with another problem.
I came out of surgery and I opened my eyes and everything was double. Everybody was double. Everything was double.
The surgeons thought her double vision might be from a stroke. Roper asks how she's doing.
I was just saying today my eyes, I can see straight, but they feel wobbly.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They feel a little, I can't explain it.
Well, let's see. We're going to try to get to the bottom of that.
Roper checks the muscles that control her eyes and realizes they're being affected by something other than a stroke. So he goes in a different direction.
Do you have trouble with your eyelids drooping?
One.
Do you have trouble with your head staying upright at the end of the day? Does it tend to loll backward?
It lolls.
Roper suspects she has a disease that causes muscles to weaken rapidly with repeated use. So he improvises a test using a blood pressure cuff.
No, we're actually not going to check your blood pressure. We're going to do a little neurological parlor trick.
Okay.
He rolls up the cuff and puts it in the woman's hand.
Squeeze it 10 times, slowly. 1, 2, 3,
everyone watches
four,
a gauge showing the pressure
five,
of each squeeze.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, if that's not fatigability, I don't know what is. It's getting a little less every time you squeeze it. Yeah, just a little.
Roper's pretty sure the woman has myasthenia, a serious but treatable disease. A blood test will eventually confirm his bedside assessment.
That's an example of the craft of neurology. You know, there's no book that would have extracted that diagnosis from that lady.
Roper says that when someone develops a serious brain problem, it can be like falling down a rabbit hole and entering an Alice in Wonderland world where nothing looks or works the way it's supposed to. He says a neurologist's job is to explore the odd landscape of a damaged brain.
You're querying the organ that has the problem, and you're asking it to talk to you, but it can't do it properly because of that damage. That's the Alice in Wonderland part. You got to figure out with mirrors and metaphors how to get at the problem.
And how to pull each patient back out. Roper and a co-author describe that process in their new book called Reaching Down the Rabbit Hole. An entire chapter is devoted to people like the next patient we meet, a soft-spoken woman in her 30s.
Hi there. I'm Dr. Roper, one of the neurologists. I'm going to let Shamik chat with you. I'll hold your Bible, okay? It's too valuable to put down. Beautiful book.
Roper turns the exam over to Shamik Bhattacharya, a senior resident.
How are you feeling?
It's a part of Roper's mission to make sure that the next generation of neurologists also knows how to reach down the rabbit hole.
So I understand that the primary thing that brought you in was left leg weakness. Is that right?
Yes.
Anything else that was bothering you?
Well, I have the shooting pain from my buttocks down.
She says the pain has been intense and unrelenting.
This week I went shopping. I cry all day, but I go out and I do everything I gotta do.
The woman had a similar episode a few months earlier and went to another hospital. They performed nerve conduction studies, ultrasound, MRI, pretty much everything medical technology has to offer. Mm-hmm. Bhattacharya's approach is low-tech, a tuning fork.
Oh, that hurts on my feet.
So tell me when it stops.
Stop.
He asks a few more questions. Then he places one hand under her left heel and administers a test doctors have been using for 100 years.
Try to lift the right leg up as much as you can. Lift it up. You're doing great job. Great job. Excellent.
As she tries to lift her healthy leg, she involuntarily pushes down with the other leg. It's known as Hoover's sign, and it confirms what Bhattacharya suspected. The problem isn't physical, it's psychological. Roper gently steps in.
Well, it's a tough problem. Let's talk about how to get you out of this jam.
Out of the rabbit hole. Later, Roper says that won't be easy, because the weakness and pain are very real to this woman.
We got a normal functioning brain that somehow goes out of its way to produce blindness, paralysis, tremor, walking difficulty, and so on. There's no other organ that does that, right? Your liver doesn't decide one day to wake up and say, I'm going to feign liver failure.
But the brain isn't like other organs. And Roper says that's why he gets up and goes to work each day. John Hamilton, NPR News.